Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, that song did mean something to me. I'll go ahead and put the screen up, the display up. So, the title of my sermon this morning is Lessons in Holiness. Take time to be holy. And the second song we just sang, Praise Ye the Lord. When we spend time with God, we should praise his name for all the many things he's done for us. The first song we sang was Trust and Obey. And I have to tell you, many of the words of this hymn, Trust and Obey, describe my sermon that I'm getting ready to preach. And I specifically want to read verses 4 and 5. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we shall sit at his feet, or will walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do. Where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And in our Sunday school this morning, we talked about the challenges that we face today. The trials, and we talked about evil in high places, and how do we respond to that? Our sister Cynthia Malone said a few things that I thought were inspired by God and relate to my sermon today. She said we should respond rather than react. Don't have fear and anger. She said, are we really relying on God, or are we being complacent in our daily lives? It requires that we rid ourselves of those things that are against God. We can't hear from God if we are of the world. And one of the phrases that one of the other, I think it was Brother Sean, said, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And really, this sermon today is about doing that, about doing giving our all, as it said in that hymn, Trust and Obey, until all on the altar we lay. And so the title is Lessons in Holiness. And it occurred to me I was supposed to preach on this yesterday when I asked God, and immediately this hymn came into my mind. Take time to be holy. And the emphasis here and throughout this hymn is take time to be holy. It gives us some practical lessons, this hymn does, backed up by the Word of God. But the emphasis is on taking time. Or as our sister Cynthia said, relying on God on a daily basis rather than being complacent. The author of the hymn, his name is, I think it's William Longstaff. He was a Christian businessman, not a minister, someone who believed the words of God. He heard a sermon, and this man preached from 1 Peter chapter 1 and also Leviticus 11. And these are some of the words he heard preached. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope of salvation through Christ our Savior. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that's our hope, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this is our hope, that at the last day we will be saved because we believed in Christ, because we maintained that faith until the end of our lives. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And we are. We're faced with those temptations today. Our concerns, our worries, we have them all the time in our work, in our failures. We have temptations. But we're to maintain our faith and to do it through holiness. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So he's saying here, our trials are more precious than gold. They have an end purpose. That purpose being bringing us closer to God, increasing our faith. Though it be tried with fire, faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know how it is. When you're tested and tempted and you maintain your faith and patience in Christ, when the result comes, when the blessings come, it's like you're born again. It's a new day. It's a wonderful day, and you witness a miracle, and you're able to testify of it and give glory to God for it. Other people see it. And this is talking about us not having seen God. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though ye now see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's that inheritance at that last day. Jumping down to verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Protect your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And that word conversation in Webster's 1828 dictionary means behavior. So in all manner of behavior, be holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that is written in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. For I am the Lord your God. And this is when God gave commandments to the house of Israel of what they should eat and what was an abomination, what they should not eat. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And this scripture in Leviticus, this commandment, was a type of the holiness that Peter commanded. What Peter commanded was a spiritual holiness, one where we not allow our souls to be defiled, one where we maintain our faith till the end of our lives. We mess up, we sin, but our faith remains. We repent, we turn back to God, we seek Him again. And these, the words of this hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy," give us some practical lessons in holiness. How can we be holy? What are the things that we need to do when we take time to be with God? And as scripture, as I went through these hymn verses, certain scriptures popped out in my mind, and I listed them here, and I'm going to read them. In verse 1 of "Take Time to Be Holy," it says, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord." Notice it doesn't say "speak oft to thy Lord." With thy Lord, it implies a communication back and forth. And I think one of the, and I believe from what I read in the Word, that one of the best ways to communicate back and forth with the Lord is to fast and pray. To take time out to separate yourself from the things of the world, to be alone with God, to commune with Him, to listen to the Holy Spirit, who has been that gift that's been given to us to lead us into all good things. So first I'd like to read in 4th book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 13. And if you'll remember, this was this group of people who believed the words of Christ, so much so that there were no contentions among them, that they lived in charity, that pure love of Christ. 4th book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 13. "And they did not walk any more after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord." Alma chapter 12, verse 5. Alma chapter 12, verse 5. "But this is not all. They had given themselves to much fasting and prayer." This is speaking of the sons of Mosiah, who were used mightily by the Lord because they took time out to be with God. They took time out to commune with Him, ask Him what it is He wanted them to do. "But this is not all. They had given themselves..." You know what? I apologize. Yes, it is talking about them. Okay. Verse 1, it says the sons of Mosiah. Okay. "But this is not all. They had given themselves to much fasting, to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. I want to take a moment to plug something that we've been invited to do as a church, as a body of Christ. Before I do that, I want to go back to that scripture again. Alma chapter 12, verse 5. Once again, it says, but this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Oh, no, this is not the scripture. Sorry. I have one more scripture to read. Alma chapter 4, verse 6. Here it is. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft and join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of the souls of those who knew not God. Now, they were commanded to do that, and I think it would be good if we do that as well. We're doing something very similar. We've been all invited to do this, both on CCEG and Facebook. Some of us, when we are not able to be here on Wednesday nights, meet together online with brothers and sisters on Wednesday nights from New York, Phoenix, Mississippi, just all over the United States, get together and pray and testify. And it's been a blessing for us. But in our last Wednesday's prayer service, our brother Bob brought up that it would be good if we would fast and pray for those who are those who have left the church, those who maybe it was brought up by someone else, maybe those who are stagnant in their faith, maybe they're not attending neither online or in person. But this commandment was given for those who know not God, and I think it's good also to pray and fast for those who maybe have known him, but their faith has diminished. They haven't maintained that faith in him, whoever they might be. So I want to invite each of us to do that. It will be every Wednesday in February, and our brother Marty mentioned that you can fast part of the day, all day, but it spend some alone time with God in prayer and fasting for those who are who need us, who need their brothers and sisters in prayer and fasting, and to reach out to them. Let's continue in the next part of the hymn, Abide in Him Always, John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What a great promise. That if we abide in his words, where we abide in him and his words abide in us. We believe them, we trust in them, we act upon them. We can ask those things and that he, we could ask those things, ask what ye will, it says, and it shall be done unto you. Of course, when we are in him, we desire his will because we know his will is the best for our lives. And feed on his word. I really like this so plainly speaks of Second Book of Nephi, chapter 14, verse 4. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for the words of Christ will tell you all the things what ye should do. When we feast upon his word, that the very word feast implies that we have a desire to consume them, to hear them, to live by them. We have a desire for those words. Make friends of God's children, John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Christ did that for us. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We're his friends if we keep his commandments, if we love others as he loves us, if we love God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. 'Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men.' We can help those around us if we warn them against their sins, if we comfort those that are feeble-minded, if we support the weak, if we are patient towards all men, everybody. That's sometimes hard, but that's what we're commanded to do. That's how we can help others. Sometimes it's hardest to be patient with those we're closest to, but imagine if we begin to practice that regularly in holiness. Forgetting nothing, his blessing, I think that's supposed to be his blessing to seek. Psalm 119, verse 2. So we should seek his blessing in everything. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. We should seek him with all our heart, and we will be blessed by him. We should keep his commandments, and we will be blessed by him. Verse 2, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It reminded me once again of what our sister Cynthia said this morning in Sunday school. She mentioned that she'd read in the Book of Mormon that it was the righteousness of the people that were able to battle the devil. We need to seek his righteousness first. And those things that we have need of, he'll supply. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Matthew 6:4. Matthew 6:4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Moroni, chapter 7, verse 53. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, that's charity, the pure love of Christ, which hath been bestowed upon all those who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If we follow him, we'll have his light. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So if we look to him, if we follow him, we'll be like him and others will notice it and we'll seek to follow him as well. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. So they'll see him in us. Verse 3, take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall shew you things to come. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Then in 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 14, verse 6, for behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. And run not before him whatever betide. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 44. And see that all things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than what he hath strength. And in Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Everything we do should be in our consult with God, with his counsel, with his guidance, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In joy or in sorrow, follow thy Lord. 1 Peter 1, 6, we read it earlier. There's a specific verse in here. First Peter 1:6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We should always follow the Lord, whether in trials, whether in temptations, whether we've fallen and we need to get back up. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 30. Of the Jews, five times received I 40, this is Paul, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the brethren, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I am not, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. God helps us in our weaknesses, in our trials. He uses those things to build our faith, to draw us closer to him, and that people might see his miracles in our lives. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now that I speak in not that I, this is Paul again, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. Okay, on to the next one. And look to Jesus, still trust in his word. 2 Samuel 22, 31. Second Samuel 22:31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. And that goes back to our hymn this morning, Trust and Obey. His word is tried and true. We can rely upon it, and when we do it, when we keep it, we're blessed because of it. His way is perfect. Verse 4, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. This first scripture that came to me, I love it because, you know, he's someone I look up to so much. That's Nephi. And yet I see that he sinned. He had to fall down and get back up too. And that gives me great hope for me because I've seen it in him and how much he's willing, or not willing, how much he praises God. Because of it, because God in his mercy towards him forgives him and gives him hope once again. But 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 44. I'm going to start in 43. And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one have place in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? And I want to stop there because that's what destroys that peace and that soul is sin. When we yield to temptations. He's saying, why would I do this? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Something we talked about this morning in Sunday school, about these things that are going on around us cause us to be angry. But we're not to do that. It says, awake my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. We also talked about that. Brother Sean mentioned the people, other people are not our enemy. The enemy of our soul is the devil himself, who seeks to destroy each of us individually. And he does it through temptation, whatever temptation that might be. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my soul. And this is how we have peace and calmness in our soul. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. This is a promise from Christ himself. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid. We should rely on God for our strength, for that peace and that calm that he wants to give us, that he wants to give our souls. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Remember, it says, each thought and each motive beneath his control. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we need to submit our trials, our temptations to him. We need to submit our will to him. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love. First book of Nephi, chapter 3, verses 63 through 68. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? This was Lehi's dream that Nephi also asked to be able to see himself. And so he's being shown this dream. Verse 63, knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable of all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. The love of God, this pure love of Christ, charity. The most joyous to the soul. Verse 66, and after that he had said these words, he said unto me, look. And I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters, so this fountain of living waters, are a representation of the love of God, thus led by his spirit to fountains of love. The final line of the fourth verse, thou shalt soon be fitted for service above. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here are some lessons that we've learned from this hymn and scriptures that supported it. Fast and pray often, together with the church and alone with God. Abide in Christ and let his words abide in you. Feast upon the words of Christ. There is no greater love than the love of Christ, who was willing to die for his friends. We are Christ's friends if we keep his commandments. Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. And be patient towards all men, all people. Seek Christ with your whole heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Give to the poor in secret. Pray in secret. Fast in secret. Don't make a show of any good work. Let his work in you glorify him. Pray for charity, that we might be like Christ. Christ is the light of the world. Follow him, and so let the light shine before his light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify him. Listen to the Holy Ghost, that gift you've been given. He will tell you everything that you need to do. Do everything in wisdom and order, led by the Holy Spirit. Unless God performs a work in us, we labor in vain. Be content in trial and temptation. This tests and builds our faith. God's way is perfect. His word is true. Trust in it. It is your shield. Resist temptation and worship the Lord. Maintain your peace with God. His peace is not of this world. Don't be troubled or afraid. Submit yourselves to God. Let communion Let communion with the Spirit of God by studying and trusting in the Word of God fill you with an abundance of love for God and for your fellow human beings. Give your life as a living sacrifice. Well, finally, I want to read this scripture verse out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God bless you each.